Conferences. Long agendas, big venues, always on your feet, barely getting to see the people that you want to see, and then, of course, the expense. Well, the three of us at Good Morning Hospitality are launching Good Morning Retreats. Our first retreat is this July 8th through the 10th at the Horst Hospitality Training School in Auburn, Alabama. If you go to goodmorningretreats.com, you'll find out more information about our first retreat that we're launching. We have already filled half the slots. We have 20 available and we have about 13 already filled. So make sure you go there, you apply, show your interest, and we'll get you all situated for our first ever Good Morning Retreat. Thanks so much for tuning into the podcast. And now back to the episode.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Welcome to Good Morning Hospitality, your one-stop shop for the latest news, noteworthy trends, and thought-provoking discussions across the industry. From hotels to short-term rentals to all things travel and hospitality, you'll find each episode equips you with the information that you need to start your week. Join us on Good Morning Hospitality every Wednesday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Live at a different hour.
Good morning, good afternoon here in Miami. Yeah. Lunchtime. So if you're having your lunch right now here on the East Coast, thanks for joining us during your lunch break.
Totally. Thank you guys for joining us at a slightly different hour today, wherever you are joining us in the world. By the way, shout out, let us know where you're joining us from. I got that mid-morning energy today, which I was telling Steve ahead of time. Watch out, buddy. I am wide awake.
Yeah, this mid-morning energy is intense. I'm used to 7 a.m., Sarah. Now you got, 9:30 there for you?
Oh, so. I'm two caffeine drinks in. We are ready to go. As everybody's chiming in with where you're joining us from, let us know. By the way, Mom, you better be joining us on the live. She said she was going to join. She was getting her nails done and was going to join us afterwards. So you better, I'm looking forward to your messages here. Steve, why do we do something a little bit different today? We came in a little bit later because you actually had something going on this morning, and I think it's kind of cool. So talk about it.
Yes. So thank you all for joining us at a later time today. The reason we had to shift our normal time was I had a very special opportunity. If you see over my shoulder, if you're watching this, the Biscayne coffee bags right over here. That's my coffee brand, and we are now, let me rewind this a little bit. I want to tell the story. I was requested to have this coffee at a place called John Knox Village, one of the most luxurious retirement communities in the state of Florida, opening a new coffee shop. I was like, yeah, I would love to have one of my coffee bags in there. Sure. Be awesome. I'm happy to do it. Go. Today was the grand opening of the coffee shop. 400 residents there in attendance. They asked if I would speak, and I look behind me at this beautiful coffee shop. And they have the entire place decked out in Biscayne coffee. All the bags. There's a video right there that Will has. All the coffee bags are Biscayne coffee. They have my mugs there. They had everything that surprised me. I did not expect to see this there. And just to see so many of the senior citizens that are, you know, in their 80s and 90s thanking me for great coffee and the story. We donate 10% of our sales to help save Biscayne Bay and the animals that live there. So, man, it just makes you feel good, you know? They kind of tell you, like, when you're 90 years old, looking back in life, there are certain special moments. Today, being able to spend that day with all of them, drinking the coffee, the idea I had today was awesome. So
that is a special day. Cool. That I love that, by the way. Yeah, check this out. This is great.
So cool. It made my whole day. I was like, now maybe I have to actually open a coffee shop. But that was awesome.
I mean, I'm definitely a fan of it. I will say, after sharing your coffee with my aunt and uncle, as well as my mom, who are definitely, you know, they love their coffee. They are huge fans of it. So kudos to you for that. And then also, like, how cool to be able to walk in. And
it was just like a nice way to start the day. It was such a nice surprise. You know, sometimes you're grinding on something for so long. This has been, you know, a 2.5, almost 3-year project. And sometimes, like, does anyone really care? And then today was one of those days, like, you don't give up, because sometimes you're just right there. You have that. That gold is right there. Don't stop digging.
And maybe this is that, this is your, it was your visualization of like, oh, you need to make a coffee shop happen. I'm just saying.
It could be. It was a good feeling to see everyone happy drinking some coffee. So that was a good thing. Thank you to all of you for joining us 2 hours later, 3 hours later to let me go.
Well, congratulations. And by the way, I love that we're even bringing this up because, as you know, we always try to do this live as much as possible, but we both have our own respective businesses that are going on. And sometimes, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I was actually speaking at an event. And so we try to do this in real time as much as possible because we love interacting with you guys. So thank you for your flexibility and supporting us in the times that we can come on and do the live. So really appreciate that. And dude, Steve, I'm so proud of you. That's awesome.
Thank you so much. And thank you to Will for putting those pictures up last minute. I appreciate you, man. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So why don't we go ahead and kind of talk about some of our first topics here. Okay, let me just quickly check one thing here. I'm changing my phone. Does that sound better, guys? There we go.
Now I'm in.
My bad. Okay. Here we are, just winging life. Okay. This is kind of interesting. Let's talk about Europe. Marriott and IHG have both announced that they are going to be adding about 100 hotels each in Europe in the coming years. Marriott basically said that they were going to add nearly 100 properties with over 12,000 rooms in Europe, especially in Italy, Britain, Spain, Turkey. It's going to be pretty much throughout to the end of 2026. To me, this is really exciting. I mean, they already have more than 800 properties there with 150,000 rooms, but this is just showing that they are planning to expand. And then also IHG, they've got they're also expanding as well too. Specifically in Germany, they've got a new deal that's going on. They're going to be adding over 200 hotels, nearly 100 cities, and they're going to be doubling up and partnering with Novum Hospitality, which for those that are in the United States that might not be aware of it, obviously Europeans, you're probably more familiar. It's one of the largest family-run hotel groups in Germany. And so they're teaming up for a 30-year deal. This is really exciting.
Yeah, it's amazing to see. Like, you know, I think 2 weeks ago we talked about how Hilton purchased Graduate Hotels and what was it? Nomad? Right? So
Yeah.
Everyone is aggressively growing, and it just shows you got to be creative in how you're doing these things and how you're getting that growth, because everyone still wants to have that title of being number one. You got shareholders to report to. These are public hotels. I like what ISG did there, where they're teaming up with a, you know, family-run hotel group in Germany that's been in business for 30 years. So they're like, all right, let's find a best-in-business type of person. We're going to team up with them. And they're turning their new hotels from Novum into Holiday Inns. So they're really pushing their Holiday Inn brand across Europe now, which I think is big for them, because now everyone's kind of looking for that budget extended stay kind of vibe. And I'm curious to see how they do over in Europe.
Exactly. And it seems like everybody's doing a little bit more European. It's certainly from the U.S. lens. Even our Good Morning Hospitality, I'm going to drop a little note here. We do have a new show, The European Crew. So, hey, look, even Good Morning Hospitality is going European. What can we say?
That's true. And we didn't ruin the surprise this time, did we, Will?
No, we didn't. It's already happened. It's gone live. So, but this is great. And again, but it's interesting. I actually just did a live TV segment just a little bit before this, hence the reason why I am extra hyper this morning. But even in looking at pricing for travel to Europe this summer, you know, fares currently are still just a little bit less than they were last year, even though we've got the Olympics happening in Paris and people are going to be traveling, but, now is the time to go. So it's definitely a hot time for Europe.
And a sidetrack, where are you seeing is like the hot trend place to go? Because last year it seemed like everyone went to the Amalfi Coast and they were in Italy. Are you seeing something trending early yet that people can jump on before it explodes?
I mean, still the hot destinations, like Lisbon is just still super popular, which is great. You know, definitely always a fan of Portugal. I think, I mean, yeah. Italy is just going to continue to see a huge explosion. By the way, I've been on the phone with multiple luxury properties in both Venice as well as Milan just for this particular week and next week. Most of these top-end hotels are currently even sold out for their big suites. So if we're already seeing that now, I can only imagine that it's just going to extend throughout the summer. So, and here's the thing, because of Paris and the Olympics being there, which will be the middle of July into August, you're going to see a lot of people that are like, okay, well, they might come and do a little bit of time in Paris, but then they'll then end up extending or coming a little bit beforehand and going to other European cities. So I think we're still just on the early end of it and people haven't snapped out of that spring break mode, but probably in the next 2 weeks, they're going to be like, yo, summer is around the corner and we have to go to Europe.
I like it. That's true. I haven't heard too many people talking about their summer plans yet. It must be like right after this month, everyone starts to buckle down and make plans.
Yeah. Definitely. So it'll be cool. So, well, why don't we continue on to some of our other topics here? Love this with Las Vegas. We were just talking about, you haven't been to Las Vegas in a while, right?
Been a while. A good chunk. 18 years.
What? Stop. 18 years?
Last time, 18 months. How old am I? 18 years. Yeah. Last time I went, it was pretty aggressive.
Yeah. Oh, aggressive, huh? Well, I mean, look, there's always a good time for Vegas, and whether you're going for personal reasons or whether you're going for a conference or to see shows, there's so much to do there. What was interesting, the recent article that came out is that Las Vegas saw a 20% increase in convention attendees in 2023. Might not necessarily be a huge surprise, but it's really great to see because it's showing that people are traveling for conferences and they are making a point to go and get together in person.
Yeah. And I saw the big event, I think, that a lot of my people from Miami went to was F1. So F1 race here drew a lot of companies over to the one in Vegas. So companies were buying suites and are setting up events. All these kind of hospitality brands, liquor brands, food brands are all kind of popping up on that F1 circuit now, but they were bringing thousands of people to go there.
Yeah, definitely. And to just give everyone a little bit of perspective, basically total visitation to Las Vegas increased by 5.2%. So it was basically 40.8 million visitors in 2023, which actually surpassed the 40 million for the first time since 2019. So,
pre-pandemic, that's the time it was rocking. But for me, I would like to go. I want to go back and visit some more. You know, we talked about the Fontainebleau opening, so that's my Miami Beach connection there. I know that they are doing okay, but I want to go support my friends over in Vegas and that place and see what's new. I haven't been in so long.
Totally. And also for perspective, I love seeing these. I'm such a numbers person. Why do we care about conventions? And this is a classic example. So convention attendees combined spend $9.1 billion. That is amazing.
That's a staggering number.
Staggering. And it's grown almost 15% since 2022. So they're coming. They are coming and they are spending money.
And that's not just in Vegas, too. I see it in a lot of major cities, Miami one, Orlando, the conventions. People are getting together more because a lot of people are working from home. So they're getting their companies together more in these conventions. You know, I think I've talked about this a couple times, maybe not on this show, but I was a little bit hating on conventions. They're getting a little stale, a little bit boring, but there's certain ones that are popping up that are doing really well. I know you're just at C-Trade. There's one I want to go to coming up where if the right people in the room, you can get some big deals done. So it's worth that money that you spend.
By the way, next year, you and I are going to C-Trade. I know that we are hotel people, but it is fascinating as a hotel individual, hospitality individual to go and see like the behind the scenes in the cruise world, because when you think, I mean, they are a one man band, you know, they are literally a living, village, so to speak, city on a cruise ship. And I mean, entertainment is next level. Food is incredible. I mean, there's a lot, they are doing a lot. And as a hospitality and a hotelier, I find it fascinating. They do a fantastic job. So
for my friends on the cruise ships, I've been stealing a lot from you guys and ideas. So every time I go on a cruise, like, that is cool. I'm bringing that to the land.
Totally. So. And, you know, I even think about this. Cruise ships, for example. So I travel with a lot of friends that have a lot of food allergies. Knock on wood, I don't have any. But I have friends that do. And these are allergies. So not preferences, but actual allergies. And every single cruise ship that I have ever been on has been so above and beyond accommodating to whatever these restrictions or allergies are. And I think a lot of hotels can really learn a lot from that, because there are some places that I found that maybe aren't so flexible. And I'm like, you are on land. Okay. Yeah. You are on land. You have a grocery store down the street. You can make this happen. If cruise ships can make it happen as a hotel, you could definitely make this happen. So
I think, you know, we've deviated from the convention part, but I think on the cruise ships, the reason I think too, because I've talked to some of them, because my daughter she's a bad shellfish allergy. There's nowhere to go, right? So they're like very careful. Like you're in the middle of the ocean. They want to make sure that you're in good shape. Yep. I love it. We should talk a little bit more about that. We got to get some more of these cruise ship stories. They're hotels at sea.
Right? Yeah. Maybe we'll go on the road. Maybe we can do a Good Morning Hospitality from a cruise ship. Let us know if you guys want that to happen. I can make that happen. Just saying.
Lonnie, good morning or good afternoon here in Miami. Good to see you.
Yeah, good afternoon, Lonnie. Good afternoon, Kay Frederick, a.k.a. Mom. Thanks for joining. next topic here. Talking about U.S. budget hotels, feeling a little bit of the pinch. Is inflation the culprit? Well, obviously, we are living in this time of inflation. Not only inflation, but interest rates are increasing. And so for kind of like the first time in a while, sort of these economy class hotels have had 6% lower revenue, RevPAR, basically, in this first quarter as they did a year ago. But that's not to say that hotels are empty by any means. It's just, they've been having a little bit more of a struggle with their rev part. And a lot of it has to do with just the cost of things.
Yep. And people staying in these budget hotels, like, look, this is what it is, a place that they're staying because they have a budget. It's not like what we talk about, some of these ultra wealthy, big time suites where money is kind of just like points on a board and they got plenty of them. Mm-hmm. When you're traveling for budget, you're looking at every single dollar and how far that dollar will get you. And now things are very expensive, right? We see it in the grocery stores. We see it when we're getting gas. We see it when we're paying for childcare. We're seeing all these things that start to add up.
Oh, 100%.
You know, I was always somebody's like, I'm going to go and pay for that beautiful suite and figure it out. Now, even I'm sure like us, we've talked about it. We look at like, all right, what am I spending on that hotel room? How much did I just spend on room service? How much is that buffet going to be? So if we're doing that, I know that the budget travelers are doing the same thing. So it's interesting to see what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, you know, I know we started off this episode talking about a lot of people are planning to head to Europe, but you know, there is also a good part of travelers that, you know, are opting for more economical choices for their summer. And maybe they have families. It's a lot of people that have to travel. There was a recent study that was done, the Harris Poll for Nerd Wallet, and they found that 45% of respondents plan to take a trip that requires a hotel or flight this summer. So people are definitely planning on that. And they found that 91% of respondents said that they will be making changes to their trip plans to save money. So, I mean, that makes sense.
I'm here. There's a family of four, right? We want to go to Universal Studios. We want to go during spring break.
Ooh, and the ticket price is,
it was like, I couldn't justify it. I booked it. And then I always buy the travel insurance to refund just in case. Oh, and the prices were just like bananas just to get in the park, right? You pay $200 something for a ticket. Then they had $350 extra for their pass the lines. Oh. So you're paying $600 a ticket if you really want to ride the rides. And do all things per person. Then they have a deal where, all right, you can stay at one of the Universal hotels that includes your fast pass, but then the Universal hotels were $1,000 a night for a standard room. So it's like, the math wasn't mathing for me for spring break. I saw a lot of people there during the summer.
Mathing.
Yeah. So, but I think everyone's looking at that now. Especially families. And I think anyone on the budget now is looking at those things.
Yeah, definitely. But by the way, I love that you brought up that they did have a special package with the hotels. So, I mean, I would presume that any property that isn't within reasonable distance of whether it's an amusement park or some sort of attraction, definitely be sure that you are not sleeping on doing these packages. Offer them because people and families will take advantage, especially when the math is correct.
When the math's.
Maths. Oh, wow. You would think that after this hour that English would be coming to me naturally, but apparently not. So again, these are always great. Also, by the way, I love that you mentioned travel insurance. I think in the next couple of weeks, we'll probably do a little bit of a deeper dive into travel insurance. Jeremy just commented, these days, travel insurance is a must, especially in your neck of the woods, in anyone's neck of the woods.
Yeah. Travel insurance. In Israel, so stay safe, man.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely stay safe. But travel insurance is certainly a must. So we'll do a deeper dive into that in the next couple of weeks.
I think so. We should, because I think a lot of people don't ever use it because they think they're not going to. But I think now there's some good ways to use it.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. All right. Switching gears to travel topics. I love this. I'm a big fan of frequent flyer programs. I am not shy about Delta. Mentioning. I'm Delta all the way. Delta Diamond, shine bright like a diamond. I will not do that ever again. But I love this because they came out and they were ranking the best frequent flyer programs of 2024. Any guesses on what you guys might think for U.S.? We're talking about U.S. airlines.
U.S. only, huh?
Yeah, U.S. only. What would you say? I mean, you saw my notes, but
Spirit. No, Underdog.
Really, Spirit? Do they even have a? Do they even have?
No, I don't think so.
Actually, they might. To be honest, they might.
But I was just joking. I'm going to say one of the big three. I didn't review the notes in detail. So, is it American Airlines, Delta? Is it
no?
What am I missing here? Who has got the best?
No, the best. And sadly, they have had some bad press in recent months. But Alaska Airlines. So their mileage plan, they are the number one frequent flyer program of 2024. Now, why is that? I mean, a lot of it has to do with the average cost of flights, then the conversion rate of their, you know, frequent flyer miles to earning, you know, rewards value, basically redemption policies, all of that. But Alaska Airlines is up there. I don't know if you have flown Alaska, by the way.
I've not flown Alaska, but their doors are flying off, so I may not.
Bro, one time thing, a big one time thing.
Are we sure? I don't know. A frequent flyer program. How many doors fly off? I'm sorry.
Oh my goodness. This is crazy. But look, Alaska, they are an amazing product. And I mean, it just goes to show you, they've always been ranking within the top three as far as just customer experience. So again, you know, I know obviously bad press in recent months, but they definitely have consistently done a good job. Also, mileage plan. So the United Airlines mileage plan program is also high up there. Why do people like United Airlines as far as their frequent flyer program? Is it converts really well to international airlines. So especially if you're trying to go over to like Emirates or British Airways, it is more attractive for frequent flyers than, let's say, Delta. I will say that's where Delta's missing the boat when it comes to their frequent flyer program. And I'm obviously a fan, but when it comes to converting to international airlines, it just doesn't convert the same way.
Well, I have a points question. Maybe we're getting sidetracked here. A lot of tangents. Always. So if I like to book things with American Express.
Okay.
Can I still earn miles on those planes if I'm booking directly through American Express?
Yes, you do.
Okay, good.
Yes, you do. So long as you have your frequent flyer mile or number.
And I plug it in,
Yeah, exactly. And then here's the other thing. And maybe this will be another future episode. Let us know if you want to hear more about this. But points and converting points, the best, like if you are earning points on your credit card, let's say your American Express, the best redemption value is to airlines. Not hotels. We love our hotels, obviously, but not necessarily great for redemptions in regards to points. So it's smart that you do that. And also, even better value, not necessarily using the travel booking portal. Like, let's say you've got American Express or Chase, Sapphire Reserve, whatever it is, not necessarily using those credit cards, booking portals to book your travel, but actually convert your points to the airline of your choice and then booking it that way. This has become a very advanced discussion in regards to credit card points.
Card points, I'm all about them. I just had taxes came out just now. You had to pay your taxes. I got it on my credit card. I got my points that covered the extra surcharge.
Okay. Way to do it.
So now the taxes are paying for my next trip.
Okay.
Free tip for this all you next nice. Year.
Wow. We have definitely gotten off the topic, by the way.
I like it though. See, we're off. The mid-morning energy is what's going on.
That mid-morning energy going zig, 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 zig all over the place. But just some final things to, you know, Delta Airlines has still ranked fairly high in regards to their frequent flyer program, even with recent changes. I know there was a lot of a kerfluffle over that last year. Hawaiian Airlines, fascinating, since you did mention Spirit, Frontier Airlines, also considered a budget airline, like Spirit, their miles program actually offers the most rewards value at about $15 per $100 spent.
Right, Frontier, gotta check out Frontier today.
I mean, yeah, or you can do United. Their mileage plan is about $11 per $100 spent. So you got options. You got options. We like that.
Kay saying, "I wish I knew that Monday."
Oh yeah. Oh, you did. Well, oh yeah. No, there you go. Somebody didn't ask their daughter about some points questions here, but that's all right. She'll learn from you. All right. So as we're kind of wrapping up our topics today, this is a wild story that we don't need to go into. Well, basically, a United Airlines flight actually had to be diverted because they had a traveler on the plane that had a pet with them. They had a service dog with them, and the service dog actually went to the bathroom on the flight. And apparently it was enough of a mess that they had to divert their flight. It was from Houston to Seattle, and they had to stop over in Dallas.
Ruh-roh.
Stop. You did not just say that. This happened on April 5th, by the way, if anybody was traveling around that time.
April 5th, flight 422, dog poops in the aisle. Why do they have to delay that way? I think it's just like crazy. Or diverted. They had to fly to a different place because of poop. Like, what about babies and people puking and throw up bags?
Yeah, wow, you're just going, you're just saying all
I'm just people. Saying there's all these crazy things that happen on flights.
There's a lot that happens on flights. And I mean, this is, it's wild, but it does bring up a, you know, a big point in regards to service animals. And I mean, obviously, you know, people that travel with service animals, they need them, but I mean, it is not inexpensive for an airline to divert their flight and land elsewhere. That is highly expensive.
Yes.
Not to mention all the things. Yeah.
Must have been bad if they were turning around.
Exactly. So wait, have you seen any unusual pets, by the way, on flights?
Unusual pets? I've seen a lot of wild kids that look like pets, but no.
I've seen a lot of grown men that look
like pets. Yeah, dogs, the cats. I've never seen like snakes or like a parrot floating around on there.
I've seen cats. I've actually seen a lot of cats lately, which I find interesting.
Cats are chill.
Yeah, they just sleep. No, well, they are, but a lot of people have allergies to cats. Well, and so too. I find that, I mean, people have also allergies to dogs, but I feel like I encounter more people that have more severe allergies to cats. And so I wonder how I've never been on a flight that has a cat on it where they made an announcement ahead of time. I mean, you know how
are you allergic to cats?
Me? No, I'm not allergic to anything. Okay. So I go through life amazing. But, but I find it interesting because haven't you been on a flight where they've announced, oh, we're not going to serve XYZ today because we have somebody on the flight that has a severe peanut allergy. In my mind, I always find that surprising. I'm like, so severe that if somebody's eating peanuts around them, they would have a reaction to it. What about those traveling with pets?
That's the crazy moms with their kids that have a peanut allergy, because I deal with it at school now.
Yeah. Yeah. But
look, no one bothers me when I bring my mini horse on the plane. So that's been a couple times. It's all good.
It's called a pony. Giving you a hard time on that. It's wild. I mean, again, we saw like a lot of people being pretty lenient with this. during the pandemic. And then a lot of the airlines have had to like tighten up their rules and regulations. I think somebody came on a flight with a peacock at one point, like in 2021, which is like, really, dude. Also, peacocks are like, they're loud.
They're all over Miami, Coconut Grove. They're just like making the loudest noise.
Yeah, that is not cute. So you can just imagine that on a flight. Also, really, is that your service animal?
That's too much.
Yeah, too much. So let us know if you've seen any wild animals on a plane. Hopefully not, but definitely interesting time. So why don't we go ahead, shift gears here. Real-time recap.
Real-time recap. I'm on the 50 hotels in 50 day challenge. We're staying on pace. I'm behind a hotel. I got to keep on it here.
Ooh.
But I was just at the Mayfair Hotel in Coconut Grove, where there are a lot of peacocks.
Okay.
Oh my. Their team is excellent. And they were very friendly because they don't know that I'm coming in. I'm going in unannounced.
Yeah.
They're treating me very nicely. And they have this awesome amenity out front. They have a Moki car. Have you seen those Mokis? Like the low car? So if you haven't seen it, check it out. It's M-O-K-E. You can rent this car now. And they walked me through how to do it. They were very nice. And you can cruise around in style around Coconut Grove in Miami. And their Moki car is a cool amenity at the Mayfair Hotel.
Fascinating. That is really cool. Really cool. Well, I like that.
It's cool.
Yeah. By the way. Yeah, I am so impressed with your 50 hotels in 50 days. Like, I love this. Is it actually 50 days?
Or yeah, 50. I got to do it. I got to step it up.
Okay.
I'm behind. I got to do like two in a day.
Guinness World Record here. Okay. But perfect. When I'm in Miami next, we'll definitely make a point to visit.
People's hopes and dreams are connected to this challenge, Sarah.
Yeah, okay. Hey.
I got to deliver.
Mine too. Okay. Mine too. Come on. So my real-time recap, I have a client of mine who, has been in Italy. And so I have been on the phone quite a lot with different hotels in Venice as well as Milan, but I'm going to do a special shout out to the team at the Cipriani Hotel in Venice. I spoke to them last night at midnight 30 my time, as well as 6:30 a.m. my time, working on some things, and they have been so pleasant and so helpful. It's a very big week, Biennale, the big art festival for those that might be in that world. And so a lot of the big hotels are sold out. And if you're looking for a suite, it's just no can do, even if cost is not, you know, necessarily the main concern. So shout out to them for really making things happen. I've got a client that's there, not only for the event, but also celebrating a birthday. And they are bending over backwards. So we are going to make a big surprise halfway across the world. And so shout out to that team for being so nice and you know, pleasant to me, even when they have a crazy Californian calling them about, I need a room ASAP.
Oh, we have no room, madame.
Yeah. No. We have room. We have you.
Yeah,
Senora, we have room for you. Hey. Oh my gosh. Sorry. Wow. We're just offending everybody with our accents here. But it's nothing but love. So shout out to all my fellow Italians for being just super, super nice and cute. So
Cipriani, great brand. Love that hotel.
Great.
And restaurant.
Yes. All of it. Casa Cipriani. This was a Belmond property in particular. So shout out to them. All right. Hospitality quote. This is a fun one. A little bit unusual. Okay. From my ex-boyfriend, Ryan Reynolds. I know not many of you know this, but Blake Lively, he has a thing for tall blondes. So I love this. He wrote this quote. I love checking out the mini bar in a hotel room. It's like opening a treasure chest. Mini bars. Okay. So underrated. Are you a fan?
I'm a huge fan of mini bars, and they're going away because they're not doing it the right way, mini bars. So I won an award for best mini bar in the country at one point. Yes. And so I'm passionate about mini bars. And the key to a mini bar is people will pay up for unique things that you put in there. And so you have to have not a Snickers bar they can buy for 75 cents. You need something from Napa Valley that has infused chocolate and has a story behind it, right? You need something that's local in there. You need unique pieces that people haven't seen that are willing to try. So you know what? I am willing to spend 10 bucks on that bar because I have never seen it before. Same. That is the key to mini bars. So if you're competing with 7-Eleven, you're not going to win.
No.
Right, let me just tell you.
No. Okay. So what did you, do you have a favorite item that you've placed in a mini bar?
Ooh, a well, favorite.
I
know that's a tough one.
I should have prepped you on that.
Overall.
But I love what you're saying.
I'm gonna get back to you as I'm thinking.
That's fine. But I will say, you know, while you're thinking, I will say that exactly what you said, something that's super local is it's the way to go. You want something unique, not necessarily just a Hershey's bar or M&M's. By the way, love them, nothing against that, but like something unique. I always love seeing that. I was at the Ace Hotel in Palm Springs. Actually, by the way, I will say this. Every time I go into a hotel, I always check out the mini bar. I'm fascinated to see what they have in there. So the Ace Hotel in Palm Springs, they had some cool, popcorn that they had and some other things that were like, oh, this is cute and on brand. So I appreciate a good mini bar.
Yeah, you can get some good swag, some different things. So one of the top sellers, here's one that I liked that was creative. It came out of a crazy idea and we made it happen, was alligator jerky. Because you're down here, you're thinking like, I don't know, should I try that? And people just started buying it to say they had tried alligator, and then we became a top seller. And so
alligator jerky?
Alligator jerky. So have you ever had alligator before?
Yeah, no, that's not exactly part of the vegetarian diet.
I guess it's not. It's a reptile. So you
actually,
could
I know. I did. I did make an exception. When was I there? In December, I actually did try alligator because I was in Fort Lauderdale.
We take you right out to the Everglades where they catch them, and then they grill them, and it's like a lobster tail is what it takes.
This is lobster. I think lobster tail is a little bit aggressive.
It's the same. You got the bugs of the ocean. You got the dinosaurs in the Everglades. We're going to eat them all.
No! Let's go. Let us know what you guys think. Are you guys a fan of alligator?
If you haven't tried it, you let me know. We got a little shack here in the Everglades. You can have an
adventure. Oh, wow. You got that South Florida delicacy. Ooh, fancy.
Well, that's what I was saying. It's unique. Would you ever see that anywhere else in a mini bar? Something different.
You are correct. I will. Yes. And I'm sure places you can also get buffalo, and maybe in Australia you can get kangaroo. This is horrible. Why, as a vegetarian, I'm having a really hard time talking about all of
this.
You're
the one talking about eating those beautiful animals. I'm talking about a reptile.
Okay.
Heads off. You're talking about kangaroos.
Oh, wow. We've had
a maybe we're hungry. It's lunchtime here. Maybe I'm hungry.
I'm definitely hungry. Not for alligator, though. Or crocodile. Or no. Not my style, crocodile. Oh, wow. We got the puns coming in here. Wow.
I like Cape the Gregory. Viewers here.
Oh, my God. Very, very cool. Well, I think that's it for our show today. Did we do a show?
I think this is the okay show today.
Was this a show? Was this just a conversation?
We're just hanging out.
Let us know if you like the topics today. As always, we try to bring the energy, whether it's early morning, mid-afternoon, evening, midnight, whatever energy. We try to bring that energy for you guys. So hopefully you enjoyed the topics and just having fun. Because that's what it's about. That's what we need to remember.
Yeah. Thank you, everyone, for the flexibility. Love getting the Biscayne coffee out there. I'm going to go have a sip of it, too, now.
Ooh, yeah. And congrats, by the way. Love that. Love that we were able to move around the show so that you could have that special morning. And I'm so proud of you.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Appreciate it, guys. We'll see you next week.
Woohoo! See you next week.